You know, it is recommended, and I suppose if there was a survey done, it would be 10 out of 10 physicians recommend that you get a physical checkup every year. Did you know that? Did you know that your doctor, and you might think it's self-serving for your doctor to recommend that, but most physicians, I suppose, and yours would be included in that, would recommend that you get a physical exam every year, just to check yourself out, make sure you're doing okay. I wonder if it's that important to get our physical health checked out. How important is it to get our spiritual health checked out? How often do you suppose we ought to do a spiritual exam of ourselves to see how we are doing spiritually? There are many businesses that will have an annual inventory, some kind of an annual review to see how is the business doing and to see where it can grow and see where it can improve. And if it's that important for a business to make sure it's functioning properly, I wonder what we should be doing in our spiritual lives to make sure our spiritual lives are functioning properly. The Apostle Paul wrote a number of letters to Christians, encouraging them to make sure that they were walking on that narrow path that the Lord described for us in Matthew chapter 7. Paul wrote two letters to the Christians in the city of Corinth. And as you know, he had a lot to say to those Christians in the city of Corinth. They were dealing with a lot of issues among those early Christians and trying to figure out, how are you supposed to live a Christian life? You know, they hadn't seen that growing up. What are you supposed to do as a Christian? And so Paul wrote to them two letters to explain to them, here's how you're supposed to live as a Christian. Here's how you're supposed to function as a church. And as he got to the end of that second letter, after telling them all sorts of things in those two letters, he told them at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, did you see it in verse 5 as it was read this morning? He told these Christians, you need to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And if that was advice that Christians in the first century needed to hear, is that not advice that we need to hear today? Do we not also today need to examine ourselves to see if we are where we need to be? To see if we are where we should be as Christians at this point in our lives. You know, the devil's busy. The devil is busy trying to get us to stop being a Christian, to stop being a faithful Christian. The devil is busy trying to deceive us into thinking, you know what, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and you know what, people like you. Some of you may remember that sketch from Saturday Night Live, and others of you have no idea where that's coming from. But we've convinced ourselves to look in the mirror as whoever that was, whoever that sketch was, it'll come to me in a minute, to look in the mirror and to say, you know what, as a Christian, I'm good enough. That's the devil talking. We need to look in that mirror and say, what more can I be doing for the Lord? Where am I as a Christian? And am I where I should be as a Christian? You know, the Bible is replete with information in it to tell us how to live the Christian life. And yet, how often do we find ourselves coming back to this book to remind ourselves, here's how I need to live as a Christian. These New Testament Christians needed to know where they stood in their relationship with God. Do we not also need to know where we stand in our relationship with God? You know, the end of a year is one of those times where sometimes we start doing that inventory check like a business does, like you might see your doctor for a physical exam. The end of the year is sometimes that time where we do a checkup. We look at ourselves, and maybe it's those individuals who make New Year's resolutions. How have those worked out for you in years past? A lot of them not so well. My question is, if it's so important for you to do, why are you waiting until the new year to do it? Why not start today with whatever needs to be done to improve your walk with the Lord? But as we conclude 2021 and as we gather together on this last Sunday, I want us to do a year-end exam. Now, this isn't some kind of a written exam. I know there's some pens up there. I'm not going to pass out any Scantron forms and number two pencils and see how we do. And you would just Christmas tree that form anyway. I know it's that time of year. You're just going to Christmas tree it anyway. But I want us to get into God's Word. And I want us to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 this morning and examine ourselves. Are we where we need to be? The exam that God wants us to use this morning is a self-administered exam. You know the difference, don't you, between a self-administered exam and a somebody else-administered exam? Have you had a COVID test? First COVID test I had way back last year, that nurse pulled out a Q-tip that was that long. And she just started pushing. Have you had that exam? I thought she was trying to push hair out the back of my head. I was like, lady, it's not going to work. But she was doing all she could to get to the back of my head with that Q-tip that was that long. That was not a self-administered exam. More recent COVID test. You get to do it yourself. That's not a whole lot of fun either. But it's a lot better than somebody else jabbing something up your nose. There's a difference between those kind of exams. The exam we need to do this morning is not an exam that somebody else is going to do to us. Have you had other people judge you? Mm-hmm, yeah. Have you ever had other people look at you and try to fix you? Mm-hmm, yeah. That's not the exam this morning. The exam this morning is the kind of exam where you are the only one who can determine where you need to be. You are the only one who can make the necessary changes that you need to make. Others can help you. Others can encourage you. But on this self-administered exam that God wants us to look at, as He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, who does He say to examine? Does He say examine everybody else? Is that who He says to examine? As He said, examine the other people in the church. Don't worry about you because you're good enough, you're smart enough, and you know what? People like you. No. Who does He say to examine? Examine yourselves. There's two verbs that He uses at the beginning of this verse. Both of them in the Greek are a present imperative. Imperative indicates that these are verbs that are commands of God, not optional, not, well, you know, if you like this idea, why don't you try it on? Imperative. Present tense indicating that you need to engage in this activity and you need to continuously, ongoing, and repeatedly engage in this activity. So while we're talking about this as a year-end exam, this isn't something you do once a year. This is something we need to do all the time. And so that first word in the New King James is the word examine. Other translations may have the word test. It's a word that means you search into something. It's not just that you think about it for a minute, but it is you dig into it to see, what kind of person am I? And then He says, not just examine yourselves whether you're in your faith. New King James says, then test yourselves. Your translation might say, prove yourselves. It's a word that indicates after I have searched my heart, after I have searched my soul, after I have spent time in introspection, I need to step out and then do whatever I need to do to show myself approved in the eyes of God. Do we do that? Do we pick up this book and examine ourselves? Figure out where does God want me to be? And then step out to prove to God that I want to be approved in His sight. Do you see the question that Paul asks in verse 5? Do you not know this? We need to know. Not just think. Not just wish. We need to know where we are in our relationship with God. We need to realize in truth, where am I? And the only way I can know that, and we're going to talk more about this in just a minute. The only way that I can know that is to pick this up and to be honest with my evaluation. To look within my heart, to examine myself. Others can help me to do that, sure, but I'm the only one who knows me. What struggles do you have? What temptations do you have that maybe nobody else knows about? Maybe you have kept them hidden. Maybe they're personal within you. What is there that you struggle with that you know? Examine yourselves. Administer this exam this morning and say, where do I need to be? And understand that this self-administered exam has to have a standard, and that's what we've been talking about for these last couple minutes, has to have a standard to it. It must be a standard-based exam, not some exam that, well, you know, she thinks she's okay where she is, and he thinks he's okay where he is, and they, you know, they must be okay because they no, it's a standard that fits all of us. God has given us a standard to use in examining ourselves that is universal. It applies to everybody. It's impartial. It doesn't apply more to one person than to another person. It is something that God expects all of us to get into, and it doesn't change. Aren't you glad this doesn't change? Are eggs good for you right now or are eggs bad for you right now? I can't keep up with whether they're good or bad. Have you noticed that it changes? I mean, is chocolate good for you or not good for you? I mean, what's the deal? Do things change in how they tell you what's good for you and what's not good for you? It's as if, you know, you've got to listen to the latest expert to tell you, oh no, this part is not good for you. And then another expert comes along later and says, oh no, my expert is higher than this expert, and all of a sudden it changes. Aren't you glad that God has given us a standard that doesn't change? That when we look at it today, it's going to be that same standard tomorrow, it's going to be that same standard next year. But that standard is not what other people think. The standard that I need to live by is not the standard of what other people do. The end of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, if you measure yourself by somebody else, if you're comparing yourself, we compare ourselves to others, we measure ourselves against others, God says that is not wise. If you're looking around at others, I want to be like Mike. I want to be like her. I want to be like so-and-so. And you live your life after that kind of pattern. God says that's not wise. Doesn't matter what other people think about me. Young people hear that. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. Doesn't matter what other people are doing. Doesn't matter what other kids are getting away with. It doesn't matter what other parents are letting their kids do. That's not the standard that we live by. Standard that God has given to us is not our personal feelings. Well, you know, I just feel that this is the right way for me to go. How's that going to work out? Do our feelings ever change? Do our feelings for other people ever change? Do our tastes ever change? You ever noticed your taste change? As an older adult now, are there foods that you like now that you couldn't stand when you were a kid, when you were younger? Or maybe there's foods you don't like now that you used to like? What happened? Your tastes changed. Can our spiritual tastes change? Well, I used to think, you know, that you really had to be baptized in order to be saved. But, you know, I'm not really sure that that's the truth anymore. Can our feelings change? Can our thought pattern change? Guess what? That's not the standard. There's a way that seems right unto a man. Boy, this just seems like it's the right way to go. The end of that way is death, Proverbs 14, verse 12 says. So what is that standard? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. What is that standard? Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. That's the standard. The faith is the standard. The faith that God has given to us in the Bible is the standard because God only has one. Do you see the word the? In front of the word faith, in the young adult class this morning, we were another passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and we saw the word faith, and we saw the word the in front of the word faith. What does that indicate? It has nothing to do with my personal belief system. has nothing to do with my subjective faith. It has everything to do with the objective faith of God's Word. And God says, look at yourselves. Self-administered exam, standard-based exam. Are you in the faith? Have you done what is necessary and what God requires of us? Be a part of His faith. The Bible says that the faith has been once for all delivered. It's right here in your hand. It's not going to change. God's not going to add to it or take away from it, so we better not add to it or take away from it. It's been once for all delivered, meaning He's not going to come along later and try to add something else to it. The faith is right here in your hand. The Bible says that the faith must be obeyed. Read that expression a number of times throughout Scripture. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, there were a number of the priests who were obedient to the faith. What does that mean? They heard the truth of the gospel. They were obedient to it. How many times in Scripture do you read about the essentiality of continuing in the faith? In 1 Peter chapter 5, you know verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, who? The Patriots? Who's your adversary? I mean, who's the team you don't like? No. Your adversary, Tom Brady? No. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But it's the next verse in verse 9 where it says, resist him. How do we do that? Steadfast in the faith. Are we there? As we examine ourselves, as we look into God's Word, have we been obedient to the faith? Are we continuing steadfastly in the faith? We noted in the first couple weeks of this month that the faith is something that we can depart from. We may have been obedient to the faith at some point in our lives. We may have been continuing in the faith for a while at some point in our lives. But the Bible says that doesn't mean that once you're continuing in the faith, that you'll always continue in the faith. Time would come, God says, that there would be those who would depart from the faith and instead would go over and follow after the doctrines of demons in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. You know what the faith is. The Bible defines it for us. Like a nice glossary of terms in Galatians chapter 1, the Bible says the faith is the gospel. As you pick up your Bible this morning, as you hold that mirror in your hands, do we see the universal standard that God has given to us? How often do we look in it? Did you look in the mirror this morning? I checked it a couple times, make sure all the hairs were in the right place. Did you look in the mirror this morning? I know that you did. I can tell that you did, and we are thankful that you did. You always look in the mirror. How often do you look in this mirror? How often do you look? In James chapter 1 is where God describes this book as a mirror. And sometimes God says in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, that there are some who look in the mirror, but then they go away and they forget what they look like. Have you ever forgotten what you look like? Have you ever forgotten? You go back to the mirror. Oh, yeah. That's why I'd forgotten. I didn't want to remember what I looked like. But the Bible says in verse 25 of James chapter 1, he who looks keeps on. Not just, well, I looked there on Sunday morning. I was looking pretty good Sunday morning. I'll check back next Sunday morning and see how I'm looking. Mm-mm. He who looks and keeps on looking into the perfect law of liberty. And then James chapter 1 verse 25 says, and continues therein. Not being a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, that's the one who will be blessed in what he does. God says, look within the word of God, and then use the word of God to honestly search for weaknesses. Honestly search for flaws within your own self. Not in others. We're not looking at others yet. We're honestly searching out our own souls to see, where am I coming up short in service to God? Jesus talked about this in John chapter 3. Jesus talked about the light of the Word of God in John chapter 3. And in verse 19 and 20, Jesus says there's some people that don't like it. They don't like the light of the gospel because of what it shows them. Have you ever walked into a room and you turned on the light and a cockroach went scurrying off in another direction? Why didn't the cockroach stick around? Well, one, because you're bigger than him and you've got a bigger foot than he is and he knows bad stuff's coming. Why did he scurry away? Because he doesn't like the light. Do we ever come to the light and not like what we see? Maybe we don't like it here because we don't like it here. What do I need to do? Honestly, search out. Where am I not where I need to be? And then be the one who makes those necessary changes. Bible says, whatever you do, Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do, in word or in deed, that summarizes every bit of your life. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Pick up this book, use it as your only standard, your only authority, and say, where do I need to be in service to God? As you think about your own life, you're the only one who can make those changes. But what better life is there than serving the Lord? What better life is there than to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith, test yourself, prove yourselves. Are you being approved by God by the way that you're living? It's a self-administered exam. You've got to do it. It's a standard-based exam. God has given us the standard by which to determine where we are in His service. It is also a strength-rated exam. What does that mean? Was it Rocky IV where they had that, whenever they punched into that certain measuring device, it would tell you how strong the punch was? Was that Rocky IV where the Russian was punching it? He would punch that device, and I don't remember what the numbers were, so I'll just make them up. So he punched in that device, and it was like 1,000 pounds of pressure. And then Rocky Balboa punched into a similar device, and it was like 200 pounds of pressure. That's not very good. What was it? It was a strength rating exam. See, how hard are these guys? How strong are these guys? And then after he got through that one song, whatever the song was that where Rocky's training, at the end of that song, oh, now he's punching harder. He's stronger than he was. How strong are we? When you look back to the end of 2020, here we are at the end of 2021, if you just go back a year, would you say you're stronger now in serving the Lord than you were then? Would you say you're not as strong now as you were then? Would you say, I've held even in my strength? We've spent this year in this congregation trying to emphasize being stronger than ever. After going through what happened in 2020, we said, okay, here's 2021. What do we need to be? Stronger than ever in our service to the Lord. And so we spent time this year talking about becoming stronger in our faith. Is your faith stronger than it was this time a year ago? We spent time this year talking about becoming stronger in our faith in the existence of God and the inspiration of the Bible and the unique nature of the church and in the sound doctrine of Christ in this month. Is your faith stronger? Faith comes by, I think the verse says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you rate the strength of your faith, is your faith stronger now than it was a year ago? We talked about our resolve as Christians this year and becoming stronger in our resolve in a variety of areas. And obviously, we haven't covered everything this year that needed to be covered. But where are you in your resolve? Are you stronger in your resolve to teach others the gospel? Are you stronger in your resolve to worship the Lord more heartily? Not just to come here and to be here, but to worship the Lord more heartily in this place every time that you assemble. Are we stronger? Are you stronger in your resolve? As you think about your level of self-control, we talked about that, I think it was the month of August. Where am I in my level of self-control and enduring difficult times? Some of you have dealt with some tragedy in this year. Some of you have dealt with tragedy in the last two years. Are we stronger in our resolve that we're not going to let tragedy define us? We're not going to let tragedy stop us, but we're going to keep on keeping on in serving the Lord. Where are you now compared to where you were a year ago? Where are you now in your relationships compared to where you were a year ago? We spent time this year talking about our relationship with God, talking about our relationship with our biological family, talking about our relationship with our spiritual family, our brethren, talking about our relationship with our neighbors, with those who are not Christians. Are we stronger in those relationships than we were? Our goal for 2021 was to be stronger than ever. Are we? Are you stronger than you were a year ago? It's a self-administered exam. You've got to figure out where you are, but that's part of it. It's not just figuring out, okay, a year ago I was here and here's where I am now, but what about a year from now? Are you on a growth rate? Are you on a growth pattern that is going to continue you to becoming stronger in your faith, stronger in your resolve, stronger in your relationships with each other? It's not just a one-year exercise. It's a lifelong exercise. This morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 is for all of us. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves, prove yourselves. Do you not know that you are in Christ Jesus? Do you know this morning? Do you know this morning, not do you think, do you know this morning that you are in Christ? That was a question that Paul's asking in verse 5. Do you see it? Do you not know? Are you certain? Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you a New Testament Christian? Have you done what the New Testament teaches us to do in order to become a Christian? In order to get into Christ? New Testament teaches that I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God in order to become a New Testament Christian. Have I done what God requires of me in order to do that? Have I followed His pattern? Have I followed His standard? Do I believe that He came and died for me on that cross? He was buried in that tomb. He was raised the third day. And He ascended and He is at the right hand of God. I believe that He's the Son of God. If I believe that, that faith ought to lead me to make a decision in my mind that says, I want to live for the Lord. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. I want to examine myself and say, you know what? Here's the standard that God wants me to follow. Here's the life I need to live. I need to make up my mind. The Bible calls it repentance. To stop doing what's wrong. To want to start doing what's right. Turn my life in the direction of God. Have you ever made that decision? You can make it this morning where you're sitting right now. You can make that decision. I want to turn my life in the direction of God. And if you're ready to make that decision today, then you can do what they did in the New Testament to become a Christian. You can do what they did in the New Testament to get into Christ. You can confess the faith that is in your heart and be baptized. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, to be baptized into Christ. Paul says, do you know that you are in Christ? That's a question for you this morning, a self-administered exam. Do you know, are you in Christ? The only way to get into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, is to be baptized into Christ. And at that moment, for the blood of Jesus to wash away every sin you've ever committed, to be added to His church, to allow God to register, to enroll your name in heaven. Have you ever done that? The Bible says there is only one way into Christ. Jesus describes it as a narrow path that gets you into Christ and a narrow path that keeps you in Christ. Have you ever followed that one way to get into Christ and to become a Christian? If not, why don't you do it today? We're going to sing a song that says, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? This very day you can come and there's warm water here, there's garments here, there's towels here. You can be baptized into Christ this day and allow the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins. Finish off this year in Christ. For those of you who have done that, at some time in your past you were baptized for the remission of your sins in order to get into Christ, are you still there? Are you still in Christ? Paul asked that question. Do you not know? Do you know if you're in Christ this morning? Do you know if you've stepped out of where you need to be in your service to the Lord? There's a pattern that He's given to us to live. Are you living faithfully to Him? Are you serving Him faithfully today? Are you making those sacrifices that He expects us to make? That's not a popular thing to talk about. But God said to Christians in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That is reasonable. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, it's reasonable for God to expect us to sacrifice ourselves to Him. We don't live on this earth for us. We don't live on this earth. Use this one. We don't live on this earth to go to school. Oops. We don't live on this earth to have a job. We don't live on this earth to get a paycheck. We don't live on this earth to pay our bills. Maybe you shouldn't have said that, preacher, because now I'm not going to pay my bills. We don't live on this earth for all of this earthly stuff. We live on this earth to serve the Lord. That is our one and primary purpose on this life. Are we doing that? Boy, we get so wrapped up in life. We get so wrapped up in this world. And the devil wants us to look in our mirror and to say, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and you know what? People like you, so don't worry about doing anything else for the Lord. No. Am I serving Him faithfully? Have I given my life in full obedience to what He wants me to do? Am I sacrificing for Him? If you're not where you need to be this day, examine yourself. And if you need to make a public change in your life, if you need to be baptized into Christ this day, or if you've already done that, but your life hasn't been where it needs to be, then why don't you come right now? Make that change in your life today as together we stand and sing.